Good evening. Welcome to Burns Memorial United Methodist Church. I'm Don Boyles. I'm the choir director and one of the six or seven lay servants here in the church. And our pastor, Peter Freytag, is in another role tonight. He's our light technician. So I've been given the privilege, thank God, to be able to lead this service tonight. And I thank God for the privilege and for Peter for letting me do so. Tonight we come together to continue our walk with Jesus through Holy Week. The altar is stripped. The cross is not lit. Darkness is all around us. We look forward to Easter Sunday and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but for us to fully appreciate the Easter resurrection, we must first walk with Jesus through the valley of the shadow of death. Not long ago, we were with him at his birth, 4 months ago. Then quickly, fast forward, in just a matter of a couple weeks, we were 30 years later, and we were with him as his baptism and the beginning of his ministry. We listened to his stories and we learned from him. We learned from him the way to eternal life. We were with him during the triumphal entry to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, where the crowd welcomed him with palm branches. But Jesus was not the warrior Messiah that everybody thought he was. And so we saw the crowd turn on him, his own disciple betray him for silver. We were with him during the Last Supper with his disciples. We were with him when Judas betrayed him in the garden, and he is handed over to the chief priest, and then to Pontius Pilate, where he was then stripped, scourged, whipped, humiliated, and we were with him when they crucified him on the cross, died, and was buried in a stone tomb. The altar is stripped. Our cross is darkened. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come tonight to walk those final steps with your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to remember that through that sacrifice of your Son, Jesus, he was crucified to bear the sins of your people, the sins for us, on his shoulders. Jesus died for our sins that we may have eternal life. And we look forward to his glorious resurrection on Easter morning. But with us tonight, be with us tonight as the choir, as we share your story through word and song. Through our singing, may you be glorified. In Jesus' most holy name, amen. So now I'm going to put on my choir director's hat, and I'm going to give you a little bit of a forward on what to expect tonight with our cantata. The Seven Last Days is the name of the cantata. The number seven holds great significance in Scripture. Creation took 7 days. There are seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. The tabernacle was built in 6 days and dedicated on the seventh. And we often associate Christ's passing with seven last words or phrases, often overlooked in the fact that the Scripture describe in great detail the events of the seven last days of Jesus' earthly existence. Each one of those 7 days is of particular importance, though some were far more eventful than others. For the purpose of this work, the narrative focuses on one event each day and is followed by a choral reflection on that event and its meaning. All of the events and their scriptures, texts, are in your bulletin, and they can be provided, so we provided them so you can spend the next couple of days, if you so desire, reading and reflecting on Jesus' last 7 days. After each day, a candle will be extinguished. At the end of the service, the Christ candle will be extinguished. The lights will go down in the sanctuary. Please remain seated until the lights come back up. And then when the lights come back up, please depart in silence. So now, the seven last days.
the final week of Jesus' earthly existence. Was there ever a more monumental week in all of human history? In some ways, these seven last days mirror the seven first days of creation. In both cases, a new world was being born. And yet at the time, no one was aware of their importance. The Gospel of Mark paints a vivid picture of the events on that final week in Jesus' life, of those fateful seven last days. The first day of the week dawned with a sunshine of hope and exhilaration. On the day that came to be known as Palm Sunday, Jesus basked in the adoration of the throngs as he made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Of you, and you will find a colt there. Untie it and bring it here. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields, and they cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest."
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Though the week had begun on a bright note, dark clouds soon rolled in, clouds that Jesus himself had summoned. On Monday, the world saw a side of Jesus they had seldom, if ever, witnessed before. It was an angry, violent Jesus who squandered the goodwill of the city that had welcomed him not 24 hours earlier. His rage had been triggered by what he saw at the temple. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of money changers and the benches of those selling doves. He said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers." Tuesday dawned as a day of controversy. An ominous spirit was moving among the people. As Jesus taught in the temple, he was confronted by priests, teachers, and elders who questioned his authority. Throughout the day, they squabbled, argued, and debated. They attempted to trap Jesus by posing thorny questions about paying taxes to Caesar and quizzed him about the greatest commandment. As the day drew to a close, an exhausted Jesus sat down to rest. It was then the only bright spot of the day came his way. Jesus sat down in the temple and watched the crowd putting money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in great amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. This poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." Wednesday will forever be stained by treachery, for it was on this fourth day of the week that Judas agreed to betray Jesus. Judas, one of Jesus' closest and most treasured disciples, of all the wounds that Jesus suffered during his passion, this cut was amongst the deepest. No doubt his mind recalled the words of the heartbroken psalmist who wrote, "Even my close friend whom I trusted, he who shared my bread, has lifted up his heel against me." Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money. So he watched for an opportunity to hand him over.
Thank you.
Thursday was the day of preparation for the Passover. For most people, this day was spent in joyous celebration, anticipating the great feast and remembering God's salvation and deliverance. But a shadow fell over the table where Jesus and his friends gathered in an upper room, and an even darker shadow awaited him in a garden on the outskirts of the holy city. By day's end, the table would become a place for all to remember another kind of salvation and deliverance. While they were eating, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "Do this in remembrance of me."
Thank you.
At daybreak on Friday, Jesus was led before a council of chief priests, elders, and teachers who accused him and found him guilty and deserving of death. They delivered him to Pilate so that he might carry out their wishes. But Pilate, recognizing the duplicity of the accusers, was reluctant to do so. However, he misjudged their influence over the crowd, and soon cries of "Crucify him!" were rising up all around. Giving in to the mounting anger of the people, Pilate handed Jesus over to be crucified. The soldiers clothed him in a purple robe and twisted together a crown of thorns for his head. They mocked him, calling out, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spit on him, slapped him in the face, and struck him again and again on the head with a staff. Carrying his own cross, he was led out to the place of the skull, where they crucified him. Two criminals were crucified with him, one on his right, the other on his left. At the sixth hour, darkness descended over the whole land. Then at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last.
Oh God, why have you forsaken me? Oh God, why have you forsaken me?
Saturday began at sundown, just 3 hours after Jesus died. His limp body still hung there on the cross. But then, in the midst of the darkness, a ray of light appeared. A member of the council that had condemned Jesus, a man named Joseph, who had not consented to the sentence, came forward. Something had happened to Joseph as he stood in the presence of Jesus, and he was transformed from an accuser to a disciple. Determined to perform one final act of kindness, Joseph asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut out of the rock. Then he rolled a large stone against the entrance to the tomb and went away. Thank you.